Good morning, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Please, if you have your Bibles, if you'll make your way to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. If you brought an electronic device, you might power that up and get that ready to go. Finding Matthew, chapter 5. Good morning. Welcome to all who are here, especially the good number of visitors. As has been noted, we say to you, welcome. We are encouraged by your presence and participation in this worship assembly this morning. This is not our normal crowd. And so if you are a visitor from this community, new to this area, new to this place, please allow us an opportunity to move through the crowds this morning at the conclusion to get to know you better, to see how we might be of service to you, and invite you to come back and to worship with us again, Lord willing, this afternoon at 5 o'clock. To all of the campers, to all of the parents and the grandparents, to all of the workers, to all of the counselors, to all of the helpers, thank you so much for who you are and what you will be doing this week in a camp not far from here. Well, I need to tell you that my life has changed quite a bit in the last few months now that I am a grandparent. Just a few days ago, my granddaughter, in less than 30 minutes, squealed at me, slobbered on me, and spit up on me. And I thought, it's good being a grandpa. Amy and I, not long, are going to pull out some of our old DVDs, some of the old Walt Disney movies that we like to watch. And an old favorite of mine is the older version of Jungle Book. And there's a song in that movie where King Louie Baloo and Mowgli are singing together, and it's "I Want to Be Like You." And some of you are already seeing the picture of the long arms of the monkey and moving about, and I'll save you the visual. But the words of that song, I like those words. Ooby-doo, I want to be like you, hoo-hoo. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you, you-hoo. You'll see it's true. I want to be like you. How comfortable really am I knowing that, yes, other people, believe it or not, want to be like me. Other people are watching me. Other people are looking at me. Other people will imitate me. The power of influence. Are you in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5? I'm reading from the New King James Version. Matthew, chapter 5, let's begin in verse 14. Jesus had already spoken about salt, and now he changes the figure in Matthew 5 and verse 14. And Jesus says, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And on a lampstand so that it gives light to all who are in the house. And here's Jesus' point, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus in his mountain message calls us as his followers to be different, to think differently from others in the world, to live differently from others in the world, to live as a light surrounded by darkness, to be in the best possible place that we can be based upon our character. There's your Beatitudes. To be in the best possible position and place that you can be, to be a positive influence on others because others are looking at you and they're looking at me. This world is a dark place. You didn't need me to tell you that. Turn on your television, open up your newspaper, You're readily made aware of the fact that we're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by wicked, immoral people. We're just filled by a world of darkness. And what Jesus calls us to do and be is different people making a difference for good. I've got just two basic points this morning. But in each point, there will be subpoints. As we look at the power of a positive influence and connect it to the image or the figure that Jesus gives us in Matthew 5 of light. As lights in this world, in essence, Jesus said we have to shine. And it's interesting, Jesus said, let your, he makes it personal, let your light shine. We sing the song with our kids. Maybe it's in Vacation Bible School. Maybe it's in your home. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And in that song, we say all around, or we sing all around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. And what Jesus says we are to be as lights is people of influence who make a difference for good. And he says light doesn't do good if it cannot be seen. You don't hide it. You set it up on a hill. You make it visible. And understand, Jesus is saying you're not trying to draw attention to yourself. No, what he says is you're trying to draw attention to God. You don't want other people to glorify you. You want people ultimately to give glory to the one that it is rightfully due, God. But the light has to be visible. So shine it in your home, absolutely. To the few, you better believe it. But don't just shine at home. Shine in the world. Shine in the workplace. Shine when you're in town and shine when you're out of town so that others can see. Don't turn it off. Don't switch it off. Don't hide your light. And so what I want to ask you this morning, do others see Christ living in you? It's not a matter of what they will see, but who they will see. They're going to see something. They're going to see someone. Do they see Christ living in me? 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. See how we're described as the people of God? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, now verse 10. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Now listen to Peter in verse 12, 1 Peter 2. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though the pagans accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. That they may see. Light has to be visible. And so what do others see in you? What do others see through you? Who? Image am I reflecting? It ought to be that of Christ. Because people do what people see. A teacher asked her class to describe the color red. Describe the color red. One student wrote, well, red is red. Another student wrote, red is the seventh color of the spectrum. And then, of course, there was that student that wrote, "Light vibrates 396 to 470 trillion times per second, which allows you to see red." I never liked that kid in class. But there was one student that took a brush and some red paint and painted a rose with the caption below, "This is red. I can see that. That's something that I can readily, clearly understand. For you were formerly darkness, but now are you light in the world." Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Walk as children of light, for," Ephesians 5 verse 9, "the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." People know in a dark world what light looks like. People will know, surrounded by the darkness, how children of light are to live. Goodness, righteousness, truth. That's something that people need to see. And that's something, when I see it, I can understand it. I can get it. We know what kindness looks like. We know how truth manifests itself. And Paul says children of light are people that are trying to learn. They just want to discern what will please the Lord. They're not trying to see how close to sin they can get without sinning. They're not trying to flirt with temptation and test the boundaries. Children of light are interested in pleasing their Heavenly Father and being in the best possible position and place to influence others. And can I add to this that perhaps the darkest times or when we should shine the brightest? What I'm saying here is Christians ought to be the people, of all people, Christians ought to be those people who respond differently to tragedy and trouble. Tragedy and trouble comes into the life of all of us if we live life long enough. But others need to see. They need to see in me, they need to see in you, they need to see in us that when my faith is being tested and my life is turned upside down, that I don't grow sour and cynical. I may get in a pit, but that doesn't mean I need to stay in that pit. I need to learn what the testing of my faith is designed to produce in me. I need to be that kind of person that perhaps shines the brightest in my darkest of days. And one final point. Simply make a difference where you're needed the most. I don't know where that will be for you. I have a lot of John Maxwell books in my library. He has a lot of good points that we can attach to spiritual principles as it pertains to leadership. But in one of John Maxwell's books, he said this, and I quote, Leadership is not about titles and positions and flowcharts. Leadership is about one life influencing another." He's right about that. One life influencing another. And so if you're a parent, shine first in your home. If you're a grandparent, shine the brightest with your grandkids as long as you have them in your presence and around your level of influence. If you're a shepherd, if you're an elder, it will be in the church where you have the oversight. But make a difference for good where and when you're needed the most. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, listen to what Paul the Apostle said, Philippians 2, beginning in verse 14. Do all things, Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, as whom you shine as lights in the world. And I know we highlight and emphasize shine as lights in the world. But before I can shine as a light into the darkness of the world on the outside, surely as a husband and as a father and as a preacher, I should shine the brightest where I'm needed the most. Because people are looking at me and they're looking at you. And so Jesus says, shine your light. Number two, as we close out this morning, send the light. Send the light. Oh, isn't it true that I can't be a light without sending the light? I talked about some of the songs that we have sung, another song that we've sung in our churches that I grew up singing, send the light. And there's a call comes ringing, or the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. It just may be that there is someone whom you alone can reach. I wouldn't minimize the power of someone else's influence, and you surely understand that I would never minimize the attractiveness and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to illuminate the darkness and to bring someone to faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. But you may be the very one that Jesus Christ wants to shine through. You may be the very person that the Lord wants to use to make His gospel more attractive. And to make the saved that belong to Him and His kingdom more appealing. If I'm going to be a light, I have to send the light. I stopped in Philippians chapter 2 just short. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, Paul said, Philippians 2 and verse 16, holding fast the word of life, one translation says. I think it's the New International Version that has holding out or hold out the word of light. And scholars have argued whether it's the better translation to have hold fast to the word of life or hold out the word of life. But in either instance, surely we come back to the same place with regards to children of light, followers of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel message and letting that message ring out. And so my encouragement to you this morning, this day, Lord willing, this week, it's not just simply shine your light, but send the light. Others can be influenced to study the gospel, to listen to the gospel, by how I live and how you live. But just the power of a good example is not sufficient enough to bring someone to faith in Jesus Christ. They need to hear the gospel. And so someone has to read it. Someone has to teach it. Some bodies have to tell it. When I first started preaching, 27 years ago, I preached in an old country church in Ratcliffe, Texas. There was an elderly lady there who clipped things out of bulletins, and she handed me one Sunday morning a poem from an old black and white bulletin that was written by Leroy Brownlow called The Gospel According to You. Can I close by sharing with you some of those words? You're writing a gospel. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do, by the things that you say. Others read that gospel, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? It's not enough for me to talk about influence. As I said this morning, I have to look at my influence. You have to look at your influence. Am I shining my light? Am I willing to send the light? There may be someone here this morning who hasn't come to faith in Jesus Christ. Please understand that the call of the gospel is for all. Jesus died for all. God loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you. Only Jesus can save. And the power of His blood can cleanse you of your sins. But not unless you respond in faith. In faith to the call of the gospel, by repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Jesus Christ and being immersed in water, baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, for the remission of your sins. If we can help you spiritually to come to Christ to receive the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, we want to help you to do that this morning. If there's sin in your life as a child of God and you've fallen from grace, you haven't been letting your light shine, please repent of that, turn from that. God has promised to forgive you, to reconcile you to Himself. If we can help you spiritually in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?